عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا
الحمد لله رب العالمين، أحمده سبحانه وأستعينه وأتوب إليه وأستغفره، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة والتسليم هو رسول الله وخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وعلى صحبك وعلى من اتبعك بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. I bear witness that there is no other God than Allah, praise to Him in His Highness. He is the creator of the universe, and out of love to humanity He sent His messengers and sealed them with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I bear witness that he is his messenger who told the message as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to tell. May Allah send peace and blessings to the soul of the Prophet and to his house and to his companions and to the believers until the day of judgment. Ameen. My khutbah today, brothers and sisters in Islam, is about four meanings that summarize a lot of principles in the Holy Quran. These are the meanings of rizq, provision, work or deeds, al-amal, ajal or lifespan, and the result of all of this, happiness, or وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ unhappiness in this dunya and in akhirah. Our first source for Islam is the Holy Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us about these meanings. For example, the Arabic verb رزق or رزق, that's the past tense, and its derivatives were mentioned about 116 times in the Holy Quran. And rizq, in its simplest meaning, is provision. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will provide for you. I created you, I will provide for you. That's the essence of the Quranic teachings. Among the ayats I want to share with you, and I said there are 116 ayah in the Holy Quran about this meaning. In Surah Hud, chapter 6 of the Holy Quran, verse number 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما من دابة في الأرض إلا على الله رزقها ويعلم مستقرها ومستودعها كل في كتاب مبين صدق الله العظيم. And there is no creature on earth but that upon Allah is its provision, and He knows its place of dwelling and place of storage. All is in a clear register. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us once and for all, once we are created, He is providing for us, not only us as human beings, the creatures. Because the word dabba means any creature that steps on earth, any that crawls, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing for it. In another ayah in Surah Al-Dhariyat, chapter 22, verse 51 of the Holy Quran, يقول عز وجل وفي السماء رزقكم وما توعدون. And in the heaven is your provision and whatever you are promised. You are promised provision, it is decided. The meaning is that you shouldn't be panicking for rizq, for provision. You do your best, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to give it to you. The second one, al-amal. The verb amila, that's the root verb from which we have the word deeds, including good deeds, righteous deeds. Al-a'mal as-salihat. This has been mentioned 306 times in the Holy Quran in several ayats. Among the most famous frequent ayats, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, like in this case, Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 82. But you find it so many times, always, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who have believed and followed that with good deeds. So it's really together, that you cannot separate faith from good deeds, like other people in other religions try to do. The third is al-ajal. Al-ajal here means term of life on earth. In other words, we say life span. At the moment of birth, in the United States, for example, these days, a boy is expected to live about 75 years on the average. A girl is expected to live about 80 years. Always women outlive men by about 5 to 6 years. So this is the lifespan. This is the ajal in general. But each one of us has a specific ajal, has specific lifespan. Who decides that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that. Examples of the ayat about al-ajal in Surah Al-Munafiqun, chapter 63, verse 11, يقول الله عز وجل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولن يؤخر الله نفسا إذا جاء أجلها. Allah never delays a soul when its time has come. And in Surah Ali Imran, this is chapter 3, verse 145, يقول الله عز وجل وما كان لنفس أن تموت إلا بإذن الله كتابا مؤجلا. And it is not possible for one to die except by permission of Allah at a decree determined by Allah عز وجل. concerning السعادة والشقاء, happiness or the opposite of happiness, which is unhappiness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and is still saying in Surah Al-Mulk, this is chapter 67 in the Holy Quran, verse 2, الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. Who, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is who created death and life to test you as to which of you is best indeed. And he is the exalted in might and forgiving. So this life is a test. Then happiness and unhappiness are the results of the test. And clearly decreed in the Holy Quran, happiness and unhappiness are those which are going to be enjoyed or punished people in the hereafter. In Surah Hud, this is chapter 11, verses 105 to 108, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarizes this saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, يوم يأتي لا تكلم نفس إلا بإذنه فمنهم شقي وسعيد فأما الذين شقوا ففي النار لهم فيها زفير وشهيق خالدين فيها ما دامت السماوات والأرض إلا ما شاء ربك إن ربك فعال لما يريد وأما الذين سعدوا ففي الجنة خالدين فيها ما دامت السماوات والأرض إلا ما شاء ربك عطاء غير مجدود صدق الله العظيم. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, when the time comes in the day of judgment and people are given the chance to defend themselves and they are given their books and showing their deeds, then the happy ones are the ones who are going to go to Al-Jannah, paradise, inshallah, خالدين فيها, everlasting. These are the happy ones. And Al-Ashqiya, the unhappy ones, are the ones who did not benefit from this experience, this great opportunity on earth, and they failed. And they will be sent, وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, to Jahannam, to the hellfire. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, everlasting there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who will, inshallah, enjoy paradise, al-Jannah, مع الصالحين. That's the Holy Quran, our fairest source about Islam. We supplement that with hadith, always. Hadith, main job is to interpret the Holy Quran, to explain it. That's what the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam did in his life. And about these four, there is a hadith, one of the 40 Nawawi hadiths, hadith Qudsi. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is narrating it on the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving it to him, but from his words. And it's not part of the Quran. There are several versions of the hadith from several narrators, companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, may Allah be pleased with him, Jabir narrated that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, إذا استقرت النطفة في الرحم 40 يوما أو 40 ليلة بعث إليها ملك فيقول يا ربي أشقي أم سعيد. After the nutfa, nutfa after the union of a man and a woman, and the fairest creature, we call it not the fairest stage of a human being, is nutfa. And it takes 40 days. At the end of these 40 days, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala authorizes the malak, the angel, to blow from Allah's soul in the human being. And the angel wants to write. And one of what the angel asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to write, is this person going to be shaqi or sa'id, happy or unhappy? In another version, also narrated by another companion, Al-Shi'bi, and he narrated after Ibn Mas'ud that إن الملك يبعث إليه وهو نطفة. The angel is sent to this human being as نطفة, meaning after the end of the 40 days. Several other Sahaba agreed with that, and among them Isnad after Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-As, ibn Amr ibn al-As, قال إذا مكثت النطفة في رحم المرأة 40 ليلة جاءها الملك. If نطفة, the first union of a man and woman, stays in the womb of a woman for 40 days, then the angel comes to it to give it some of ruhillah from the soul, give it the soul, and to start writing about it. There is also a famous hadith, a famous version of the hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, in which he says it is after the mudgha. So nutfa, alaqa, and mudgha after 120 days. This is the only version which is different from the majority. And the scholars of Islam in several centuries said Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was really thinking about the sequence of al-khalq from nutfa to alaqa to mudgha, more than thinking about the soul is blown after 120 days or after the third. Anyway, Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated this hadith about how the malak comes to blow the soul of Allah and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to write four words, four major things about this human being. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ وَأَجَلِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. After he is ordered, the angel is ordered to give the soul to the human being, then the angel is ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to write his rizq, his provision, his lifespan, his ajal, his deeds, then the outcome, happy or unhappy. Several groups of people, especially after the fitna between Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, karramallahu wajhu, and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, several people tried to play with words and twist the major teachings of Islam. Major teachings of Islam is that saving and salvation is through deeds, good deeds. They tried to say if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided this beforehand, then we cannot do anything about it. This is the debate about takhyir and tasyir. Do we have the choice, or we are doomed, we're just following a script? The teachings of Islam is that we have a choice, and this life is just a test. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. This is a test to see who among you is the best in good deeds. And all this project of rewards of Jannah and Na'ar, hellfire and paradise, is about a test. If we have no choice, how can we be punished? When a third source now we have the Prophet alayhi salam told us the Malak comes and he writes these words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his knowledge, with his wisdom, he knows the outcome. But he doesn't interfere. It's your choice. What choice you make is yours. And he is waiting for you to do the best deeds possible. One of the tabi'een, actually Sayyid al-Tabi'een, Al-Hasan al-Basri, and one of the good brothers in this masjid really sent it to me by an email, what he said about these four meanings. May Allah reward him for that. What did he say about that? To solve this problem, or the debate, because it wasn't his time, in fact, that started the debate. He said, that's Al-Hasan al-Basri. First, let me tell you something about this man. May Allah be pleased with him. He was born in Medina in the last 2 years of Sayyidina Umar's rule. May Allah be pleased with him. About 21st Hijriah. And he died in Basra about 110 Hijriah. So he lived basically in the first Hijri century, when the Islamic State was expanding big time, and it wasn't its best, actually. And therefore, there was a lot of scientific debates and arguments, and nothing wrong if we want to seek the truth. But everything is wrong if we insist with ignorance and arrogance on a position that is refutable. That's really it. And his contributions about that. He was famous for his teachings about zuhd in life. And zuhd doesn't mean that you don't work. He would have the bulk of the Islamic teachings that we work, and we work perfectly, and we do our best. But we shouldn't humiliate ourselves in the quest for wealth or power or prestige. And if anything we don't need, we should not really go by any means to get it. We should be zahideen, we should be away from any attempt to get power or to get prestige from people, and let alone getting wealth, if this is going to cost us to compromise in our faith and our integrity. That's basically his teachings. Some people said Al-Hasan al-Basri was the imam of Sufi sect or Sufi teachings. That's not true. He lived in the first century, and Sufism started in the third century, way after him. But they used his writings. He had a lot, if you go to the internet, he had a lot of work, and you will enjoy that. And a lot of it is also in English. A lot of books he wrote. About the topic, what did he say? He said, "علمت أن رزقي لا يأخذه غيري فاطمأن قلبي، وعلمت أن عملي لا يقوم به غيري فاشتغلت به وحدي، وعلمت أن الله مطلع علي فاستحييت أن يراني عاصيا، وعلمت أن الموت ينتظرني فأعددت الزاد للقاء ربي." Answering the four. The first one, I knew that my provision is decided, unknown, and nobody will take it. Then I am assured with that. I do my best. I don't know the unseen. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the unseen. He is the only one who knows what I am going to make in this life. I don't know. Then I am assured and I do my best. And I know that the deeds that I'm supposed to do, nobody else is going to do. And therefore, I feel obligated to finish it. I finish my work. I have to do it. It's my work. I'm not going to leave it to somebody to do it. And I knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees me, watches me all the time. And therefore, I am so embarrassed, so shy to do anything wrong. I am being watched. And I know that death is waiting for me, everyone. كل من عليها فان. Everyone is going to die. I know that. And therefore, I am prepared. I'm preparing for that moment. He summarized it all, meaning he worked for his rizq. He worked for the good deeds he has to do. And he watches Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, and he knows for sure this is coming, and I am ready for that any moment. So if you have this mentality, then you are safe, and inshallah you will be among the happy in this life and in the hereafter. Among also from what he said, قرأت في 90 موضعا من القرآن أن الله قدر الأرزاق وضمنها لخلقه وقرأت في موضع واحد الشيطان يعدكم الفقر. In 90 places, in 90 verses or 90 frequencies in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that He is the one who has decided provision for us, meaning assuring us in 90 times, assuring you that He is giving you rizq. And in one time, He said that the devil, shaytan alayhi la'natullah, is promising you poverty. And it is amazing that people forget about the 90 times Allah is assuring them about their rizq, and they follow a shaytan who is scaring them for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among these su'ada, happy in this life and the hereafter, following the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Prophet, and the great workers and scholars of Islam. Some of the praise given to Al-Hasan al-Basri, may Allah be pleased with him, from Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, سَلُوا الْحَسَنَا فَإِنَّهُ حَفِظَ وَنَسِينَا. This is a great scholar of Islam, Anas ibn Malik, praising him. He said, when people would ask him about a question that he forgot, or so, he said, ask Al-Hasan al-Basri, and he is the one who is trusted with memorization, with knowing what's supposed to be the answer while we forgot. One thing I would like to close with, talking a little bit about Sufi sects in Islam, which started to happen in the 3rd century Hijriya. And you will find them really in Masr and Bilad al-Sham and in al-Maghrib, al-Arab, and Africa also, Africa. There are two major groups of Sufis. One group is really following scholars like al-Hasan al-Basri about zuhd and leaving the things that you should not be following, like something you don't deserve and you want it. Why do you want that? It's not about that you stop working. You should work in your capacity, but don't humiliate yourself. Don't beg others to get that. They are famous for leaving the manifestations of luxury. So they eat very simple. They dwell in very simple way of life. They clothe themselves very simply, but they follow the teachings in the Holy Quran and the Sunnah. Nothing wrong with these, the fairest group of Sufis. But there is another group. They go too far in the philosophy, creating a parallel meaning for everything. any ayah in the Holy Quran, they have another interpretation other than the linguistic or scientific meaning that we can see. You read the verse, it is very clear Arabic, you understand it, you may relate it to biology or geology or astronomy of our time or history. It is plausible, it's understood, nothing wrong with that. But they say there is a botany translation or interpretation. There is a hidden meaning. They went too far. They borrowed from the Greek mythology, from Hinduism, to the extent that they would leave the... They say there are ranks of Sufism. If you reach a higher rank, you don't need to do what other Muslims do. You don't need to pray. You don't need to fast. You become one with Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's too far, really. And we should guard against it. It is a lot in the internet about it. We should, in fact, guard against it, tell our children about that. When it is not following the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the good scholars of Islam, then we should guard against it. There is a lot here. The internet is a great blessing. But also, if you don't watch it carefully, it is dangerous. Really. It has to be equal. May Allah make us among those who follow His teachings and gain His content and His happiness in the Jannah, inshallah. Allahumma ighfir lil muslimin wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya'u minhum wal amwat إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم انزل سلامك ومحبتك على الأرض كلها وخاصة على بلاد المسلمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وأقم الصلاة فإن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استقيموا واعتدلوا straighten the lines and complete them. الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد وفرعون ذي الأوتاد الذين طغوا في البلاد فأكثروا فيها الفساد فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب إن ربك لبالمرصاد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا ما ابتلاه ربه فأكرمه ونعمه فيقول ربي أكرمن وأما إذا ما ابتلاه فقدر عليه رزقه فيقول ربي أهانن كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما وتحبون المال حبا جما كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة